Welcome to our second episode. So energetic. Welcome to our second episode of our podcast. Today, Erin and I are going to be talking about
heartbreak. Heartbreak, and our topic was basically, so you got cheated on, now what?
So you got cheated on, now what? Have you been cheated on? We've both been cheated on.
Is the sky blue?
Is the sky blue? I hate that. I hate that such good women. Like,
I know.
I have been cheated on, but I know. I feel like it's very easy when you are cheated on to start to blame yourself and like, what's wrong with me? And so I love that we're talking about this topic because I feel like in today's modern dating world, unfortunately, a lot of people deal with this. I think all of my girlfriends have been cheated on.
I don't know anybody who hasn't been. Well, I can't say that because I don't know about everybody's relationship that I've met personally, but
yeah.
I do know a lot of people, men and women, who have been cheated on. So, but before we get
into that, we're gonna rewind a little bit.
This is the Just Wine About It podcast. Wine being a major component in this podcast.
Wine being a major component in our lives in general.
Yes. So last time we did not introduce the wine we were drinking. We're so sorry about that. But today we have this one, and I will do a close up on this. It is, I hope to God I'm pronouncing this right.
Say it, girl.
Meiomi.
Meiomi. That's how I would have said it.
Meiomi. Meiomi. Pinot Noir. Subtle plug. We sell this at Tab Rack Social. This is our Pinot Noir.
Oh, I love that. At Tab Rack. Get you on Tab Rack Social and get you a Meiomi.
This one is actually very good. Like, this is.
I don't think I've ever had it before.
I don't think.
Let's do a little try.
I don't know if we've had it together.
I don't think we've had it together.
I've had it before. Cheers. It's very easy to drink.
I was literally just about to say those words.
Very
dangerously easy to drink.
Very smooth, which a Pinot Noir is typically going to be very smooth, very easy to drink. It's not going to have a lot of tannins.
Like
big
that.
Word. Tannins.
No, it's very smooth. It's not very minerally. It's very, very easy.
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite ones.
I love a good Pinot Noir. Personally.
Yes.
Pinot Noir, if I can find a good Pinot Noir, I'm like.
Yeah. So that is our wine for today. And then we'll get into our actual wine.
What are you going to wine about today?
I went over this on my Instagram stories.
We do a little venting rants on our Instagram.
I talked about this on my Instagram stories, but Chipotle for 2 days did not have cilantro in their rice. And what are we doing?
What's going on?
Why?
You know, when you said there was a cilantro shortage, the next day I walked into La Michoacana and I went to like their produce section. Girl, they had all the cilantro.
Okay, because
so when I saw that, I was like, what are they even talking about? What's Chipotle talking about? Shortage.
I was going to call bullshit on the guy when he told me, he was like, there's a cilantro shortage. And I was like, why can't you go to H-E-B?
H-E-B got cilantro. Why don't you go to cilantro?
And why, like, if you know there's a shortage, why aren't you able to run to H-E-B or, like, the manager, whoever is in charge?
Well, it's big corporations, and, you know, they have their systems, and, like, this is where we get our produce from, and that's cool and everything, but the people want their cilantro.
Facts.
I like cilantro. I feel like it's, like, a love or hate thing. So.
It makes the rice.
No, it does.
So, like, with Chipotle, your rice is cilantro lime rice. How can you sell your rice if there's no cilantro in it? It was just lime and salt.
That doesn't sound right.
No. So that's my wine. Thankfully, they did get it, but like, it was a rough 2 days.
As if we had nowhere else to eat. we're literally rough 2 days. I don't know what to tell you. We want what we want. We want to get it when we want it. That's a good wine. My wine is, I'm over this heat in Texas. If you are not in Texas, you're probably doing a lot better than we are down here because it's been, what, 105 degrees every day?
Like 180.
180?
Yeah.
I exaggerate. Your girl exaggerates too clearly. It feels like 180. It is absolutely ridiculous. I'm over it. I knew, like, I called it this winter. I was like, winter, whatever winter we have here in Texas. I was like, y'all, this summer is going to be brutal. Like, last year was the first summer. I'm from Texas. So for me, it's like I'm used to the heat, mm-hmm. but this year I was like, this year's gonna be brutal because last year I had second thoughts about living here.
Yeah.
I literally was like, I don't know that I can do that this summer.
Yeah.
Like what we had last summer, and here we are. Going yeah. through it again. 105 degrees is just too hot for me. Unless I can lay in a pool all day, like we did yesterday at your pool, where I'm yes. just like under the water, like I don't want it. Mm-hmm. So that's my wine. I'm over the heat. I'm ready. I'm a fall girl vibe. I'm a fall vibe. Girl, whatever, you know what I mean. I
fall like is fall. My middle name.
Fall. It's yours too, because you've already been trying to watch like what fall shows, get the fall smells out.
I told Sarah the other day that I can only do like 1 month of summer. So like once that month is up, I'm already transitioned into fall. So I will start with my fall candles and fall shows, whatever, like fall food type, slowly bring everything in.
I love that. I'm ready.
Fall candles are the first.
No, fall candles, I don't care if it's the middle of summer. I will light.
What's your like fall candle that you buy? Do you have a staple?
I don't have a good go-to. Okay. I don't have a good staple. I'm a Bath and Body Works girl. Call me basic. I love the way their candles smell. I'm also big, like I'll go to Target and go through their candle section, mm-hmm. but I haven't found one that I'm like, ooh, this is my go-to.
Can I get you to buy from Bath and Body Works?
Yes, what is it?
The pumpkin waffle.
Say less. Candle. Sounds great. I love pumpkins. I love waffles.
I have four of them that are already done.
She stays ready.
So I'm going to have to re-up this year, but it is hands down the best intro into fall.
Sounds great. Well, catch me at Bath & Body Works getting some of those candles because I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I like that and like the Christmassy, those candles.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I love the holidays. We were talking about this the other day. I don't really celebrate a lot of holidays now that I'm an adult and, like, family dynamics. Like, we do. But I mm-hmm. love when I can do anything to get in the mood of the holidays.
For
cooking,
sure.
smells.
For sure.
Light a fire. Whatever it is, I love all of that. So, mm-hmm. I'm here for that. Yeah. Okay, well, cool. So, let's jump into our topic of the day.
Yeah.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
There's a little hesitation there. We're ready. We were talking earlier, like, what's our topic? And she said it, and I was like,
This topic requires no preparation.
None.
From either one of us.
This is just raw experience, I would say.
Yeah.
So, where do you want to start with this? I feel like we could dive into this different ways.
Yeah, I would like, I've been in three relationships, two of which I've been cheated on heavily. I'm sorry. Let me rewind. I've been in four relationships, two of which I've been cheated on heavily. The first relationship I was in college, and it was my second relationship in college. He was an athlete, and I'm going to be very generous about what I say because we're very cordial.
Like y'all are cool.
Yeah.
We're cool still.
We're cool.
Okay.
Me and this guy dated on and off for probably, I think, 2 years. He was a basketball player. So in the summers, we would travel essentially for his basketball tournaments in an attempt for him to go pro.
Okay.
So during those, his ex-girlfriend at the time also attended St. Houston, which is where I went to college.
Okay.
A lot of the details are neither here nor there.
Irrelevant at this point.
But we were at a tournament, and he told me to hold his phone. We can all see where this is going. He told me to hold his phone. I was sitting in the stands, and I remember going through the I got a light bulb went off. I was in the stands. A light bulb went off and was like, he's occupied and I have the phone. I packed it up and went to the bathroom.
Gritty.
Yeah. I went to the bathroom. I had gotten his password the day before because I was watching over his shoulder of like, it was a BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the dot maze thing. And so I saw the dot maze and I remembered the pattern. And so the next day when I had the phone, I went to the bathroom, I unlocked the phone and I went all the way through it.
Was that a good idea?
I wanted to, I was nauseous. I wanted to throw up. So I found out he was cheating on me. That day was probably one of like the worst days ever. But after that, I confronted him and it was like a whole thing. And I ended up getting back with him, and which I don't recommend, but I understand.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do, when that happens, is they get back together. I wish I would have stood on business and left. But it, I guess it taught me things that I have.
There's a reason. There's a reason it all happens the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. The second one, I can go back. There's a lot that I learned from that one. The second one, I don't give two flying fucks about this. So the second one, it was after college. It was my first relationship, like, in Austin.
Okay.
So I'd never dated anybody in Austin. It was my first relationship in Austin. And I ended up kind of, like, living with him. Like, mm-hmm. the relationship transitioned where I would just continuously stay over it. He lived with his mom at the time, stay over at him and his mom's house. Mm-hmm. And so I would just stay. I ended up just, like, staying there. Not moving in, but, like, staying there. And while I was staying there, I found out that he had a baby on the way with someone who was not completely out of the picture. And so I found that out. I decided to stay. I decided to see it through. We ended up moving into an apartment together. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3 weeks in, I get a "Hey girl" message on Facebook. This girl sent me screenshots, everything. And I did stand on business on that one. I kicked it. I did the, what I don't recommend, actually, because nowadays you don't know how crazy someone is. All his shit was outside. I threw it all out. The apartment was in my name. Everything we owned, like furniture, everything was in my name. So all he had at my apartment was clothes. And all that shit went out the door. And I said, I called him and I said, your shit is outside. You need to come get it. Don't bother coming inside.
Actually, you're not allowed.
You're not allowed inside. And I did call my dad and my brother and I told them, like, what happened. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he's coming to get his stuff now. And they were like, okay, well, if you need us.
We're here.
We're here. Thankfully, I didn't need them, but he did threaten me.
What?
He did threaten me while he was getting his stuff.
In what way threatened?
Like, to send females to come beat me up because I put all this shit outside.
The audacity.
I know.
Like, sir, you fucked up.
I know.
Not me, and you got caught.
I know.
What?
Yeah, and apparently he's
did
like
he
some
admit it?
Serial.
Like, was he?
No,
like,
he denied
did he own
it.
Up to it? No, did your first relationship own up to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he had no.
Who knows to him?
Me and the girl three-wayed him. So, me and the girl actually, like, in a different life, we would be friends.
Friends.
Yeah. So we, that one in college, we actually three-wayed him. This was like another instance that I caught him cheating on me with. So like this is after the phone thing. Mm-hmm. And so this happened after and we three-wayed him and she was like, I love you. Or I said, I love you to him on speaker. And he said, I love you too. And she was like, who do you love? And click.
And she hung up.
No, he hung up.
Oh, yeah.
It would not answer.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So.
So one admitted it, one did not.
One did not. The guy would probably still, till this day, deny. Excuse me, I just burped. I hope we're going to cut that out. till this day, he would probably deny that he ever cheated on me.
Yeah.
And I literally couldn't care less. I just, The other guy I'm cool with, we're still friends on Instagram. We have the same birthday. We're 2 days apart, so we always tell each other happy birthday. Mm-hmm. It's just he has a family now. Like, it's love it. It's yeah. Cordial. The girl he cheated on me with, I'm cool with her too. Like, we're friends on Instagram. So it's, I think, I don't know if she's in a relationship or not, but we're all just living our best lives. Yeah. The other guy, I don't really give a flying fuck. So
you have, like, no contact with that guy?
No. I had to block him. I had to block him on everything because he would not leave me alone after.
Like trying to make things right?
Yeah. Couple years.
I'm not going to say funny how y'all men do that, but, like,
yeah,
I feel like that's, in my experience, that's the case. It's like,
yeah, well, they realize that they messed up and they want to see if you're weak or not.
I mean, we've had weak moments. Okay, so those were, like, your two main.
Those are the only two times.
Okay, so my question to you then is, like, post breakup, how did you handle those things, right? Like, did you go out and date other people? Did you close yourself off from that? Like, where when your head's, because I know, because I've been cheating on as well, mm-hmm. your headspace is in a very, like, gentle, fragile place at that mm-hmm. point. And so, like, how did you handle coming out of both of those relationships? Were you just like, you know, fuck it, we ball? Or, like, were you like, I'm not talking to any men for a while? Like, where was your mentality?
The one in college, I was very weak mentally, and mm-hmm. I went back every single time. Mm-hmm. That was also a very painful breakup whenever, like, it lasted until I was a senior in college, so there was no finish line.
So I guess. Beginning of college to end of college?
It was sophomore all 4 years, year.
So majority of your
senior on and off, yeah. Senior year, we were in a good spot. I flew out to D.C. where he was from, met his entire family, stayed with him for, I think, 4 days in D.C. And it was good. And I went back, and then he came back to same Houston to visit for 2 weeks, stayed with me for 2 weeks. And it was good. Everything was good. And then he went back to D.C., and it was probably towards the end of graduation. I got a message from a woman who was like, who are you? And I was like, at this point, me and him had talked about marriage, like, very vaguely, but
still, it was a conversation. We had talked about it.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm like, some heady bullshit. I said, I'm like his future wife or something like that.
Girl, who are you?
I was like, who are you? He's like, oh, I'm his girlfriend. So he had a girlfriend in D.C. the entire time this was happening. So it ended. And it was a very painful process to, like, keep getting, like, these things. And me being in a weak mindset and insecure at that point, it was hard for me to, like, not go. Like, it was hard for me to, like, leave it.
Like, to just let it go completely.
Yes.
Because you're just like, what?
The way that I let it go is I made him hate me to where he just stopped talking to me. So that is my, like, that used to be my response to things. Was to make them hate me so much. Like, I said the worst things to him to where he just didn't want to deal with me anymore. And so we ended it. And then I moved back to Austin, and then I shortly met the other guy. So I didn't really have, like, a moment in time where I was like, I'm going to go date all these guys. I kind of just...
It just kind of happened.
I moved home to Austin. It was just, I wasn't really thinking about it at that time. And then after the second one, I kind of just gave up on relationships altogether and talked to guys here and there. But I did not have another relationship until 2021. So from 2014, probably, to 2021, wow. I was single. Technically single. I did not have a boyfriend. I did not have a relationship. I talked to men, but I did not have a formal relationship.
That's so interesting because from 20, I guess mine was a little bit earlier than that, but like 2012 to 2021, I was in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
So it was like polar opposite. That's crazy.
Now I have been in situations where I've been talking to someone, it was never official.
Yeah.
But those have those
I mean, they didn't go anywhere
heartbreaks there. Were probably the worst.
The short term ones?
Not short term, just the not official ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I know how that goes. It's like, hey, we have this amazing connection and like we have a great like whatever, but we're not gonna do this.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like, yeah.
Because it makes you wonder, like, well, why not?
I think nowadays if I were in a relationship right now and I got cheated on, it would be a very different story than how I handled it prior.
Naturally.
I do know my self-worth. I do stand on business when I talk about things. So it would not be very difficult for me to get up and go.
Like keep it moving. Like if somebody did that.
You got me all the way fucked up at this point. I see it as the ultimate sign of disrespect. So you only get one time to disrespect me.
And that's it. And then you gone.
I don't care who you are. Like you get one time to like come at me sideways or disrespect me in that manner as a partner.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I feel that that's literally when you're in a partnership with somebody, it's the highest form of disrespect. Like you're over here building a life with somebody and they're willing to go and lie, put your health at risk, do like all kinds of sneaky things, and it's like, whoa, hold on, we have a partnership here. Like I thought we were building something together. So like when someone does that, it's like a slap in the face. And I'm right there with you on like I would handle it now, like if I was in a relationship with someone now and they did that to me, I would handle it a million times different than I have in the past. And I think that just comes with experience, right? And growing as a person and learning your worth and like a lot of those things. But yeah, I'm the same way. I'm like, you got one time. Got one time to get me fucked up and I'm out.
I also know now that it has nothing. I keep like I'm stuffy, but I'm not stuffy. I also know now that it has nothing to do with me. It has zero.
That right there.
It has zero to do with me. It has everything to do with that person. And I wish I would have known that when I was in college, because when I was in college and shortly after, I thought it had everything to do with me. I thought I wasn't good enough. I thought I wasn't pretty enough. I thought I wasn't skinny enough. I thought I wasn't intelligent enough, or someone had something that I didn't. And that is simply just not the case. So I want people to understand, young girls,
especially
when you're going through college, when you're in your early 20s. And now that we're in this age of social media, I want you to know so wholeheartedly, it is not about you.
It's not you at all. It's 150%.
A man cheating on you has absolutely nothing to do with you.
No.
And so I want you to remember that whenever it does happen, because I hate to say it, but it may.
It's inevitable. There is the potential, especially with these things right here. Everybody has temptation at the tip of their fingertips.
Yes.
And it's just.
If it does happen to you, I want to give you a hug and I want you to know that it is not about you. It has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with, oh, are they prettier than
like,
me?
What am I, or yeah, what, are they, what does this person
have that
I
don't
have? But I think that's your first, that was my first thoughts when I went through it. I'm like, what am I not doing for this man? Like, I cook for him. I make sure he's taken care of in all aspects. Like, and it's like, what am I not doing? Like, what does this other girl have over me that I don't have? And it's like, it's very easy to beat yourself up. I went through a relationship, my last relationship, where same thing. I was cheated on. And we took some time apart. And I let him back in my life. And he was my best friend. Like, do I regret allowing him another chance? For sure. Did he deserve another chance? Hell no, he didn't deserve another. But I loved him, and he was a very good friend of mine long before we got together. And when we broke up, I beat myself up. I'm like, what does this woman have? What do these women have? He's going behind my back that I don't. And so, like, when I would confide, like, I have a lot of good guy friends and, like, even my girlfriends, like, who, when they saw me going through it, they're like, hey, it's not you. And I'm like, it has to be me, though. Like, what is it? And it's very easy to like sit there and blame yourself. And it's like, it had nothing to do with me because I have so many people in my life that are like, you're such a catch. And like any man that's with you is lucky to be with you. And then I get this and I'm like, but why? Like the person I want to be with can't love me and can't be faithful to me. Like, what is it? And now after I'm out of that relationship, I've done the reflecting on it and I realize like, it is him. It's not me. He's searching for something in his life that I can't give him no matter how much I try. And he's going to have to go through like the healing in order to do these things. And I can't help him. I can try to help him all I want. But what is that saying? Like, you can't lead a horse to water, like, and make him drink it. Like,
you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him drink it.
And like, that's the thing. I could put him on, I could help him with his credit and help him become, you know, get more established in certain areas of life. But at the end of the day, like, he was looking for something that was, it's an unhealed part of him that like I couldn't keep. And when you're in those situations, again, it's very easy. Like, I beat myself up after that one because I gave him a second shot. I did a whole nother year with this man and his kids and pouring into his family. And then I was like, what? You're going to do what to me?
I think with that also comes the thought process, and I was in this in my last relationship, is it's not fair to me that someone is going to get the healed version of him.
That part sucks. I think about that too.
I thought about that so much, but then I have to reverse the thinking of, well, I'm going to get a healed version of someone's not fair.
I love that. Switch your mentality on it. Because it's true.
Yeah. So like someone could be going through a situation right now. A female is probably like, damn, some girl is going to get the healed best version of him. And it could be me. It could be me that I'm receiving.
It will be you.
Yeah.
You will get a healed man.
Yeah. It will be me, or I'm going to be receiving a finished, not finished, a healed.
Somebody who has done the work.
Yes. And that's what is fair.
Yes, I agree.
So if you find yourself thinking this is not fair, someone else is going to, I put in all this work. Mm-hmm. Someone else is going to reap the benefits of what I did. Just know that you're going to reap the benefits of someone else's
work. I love that mentality because it's true. Like, mm-hmm. I felt so defeated when my last relationship ended because I was like, this is my best friend. I laugh with him. I have a great time. We have the same interests. Like, I love his kids like they're my own. You know, I wanted to live any and every experience in life with this man. And when it failed for the second time, I was just like, some girl, and he got a girlfriend very shortly after we broke up.
It always happens like that.
Well, hold on, here's the deal. I feel like men, and this doesn't even just go for men, this goes for women. People that are unhealed bounce from relationship to relationship because they need that validation. They need that like caretaking. They need that to, in their lives to feel like the balance. And a lot of those people stay in that cycle of not healing. And it's like, when I found out he had a girlfriend, like part of me was like, oh, what? Because when we broke up, he was just like, I'm going to become the best version of myself and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And like, I fucked up and I lost the, you know, the love of my life and blah, 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 blah. And then to see him with another woman, like less than 6 months later, I was like, how? And is he with her now? No, because he's again in that cycle and that's on him. But it sucks because part of me, when I found out he was with this other girl, mind you, this other girl called me asking me questions about him, talking about she's already going through his phone. And I was like, baby girl, you called the wrong person because I'm going to be real with you. You were with the wrong man. Like, he has some healing to do. But when all that happened, I was just like, okay. Like, I don't want to say it like brought me some kind of peace with it all, but I was like, well, he's your problem now.
Like, it was probably a big sigh for you. Like,
it was a big, because I was hurt. This last relationship put me through the ringer. Like, I have not, I don't think ever in my life felt that way before. Mm-hmm. Mentally, physically, emotionally, all these things. Like, I sat in Scott, my team lead's office, and he looked at me the couple days after it happened, and he looked at me and he said, are you okay? And I have never cried harder in front of somebody. And like, bless his heart, he was sitting there like, dude, this is my top agent, like, please don't throw her production off, like, please get it together, girl. And also, like, he cares about my well-being as a person, and like, to see me sitting there so broken after I had poured and poured into this man and his kids and put the energy to bring like life into something that we could have had that would have been a really beautiful thing. And then to feel so just like, you cheated on me with who?
Mm-hmm.
While I'm off at a work conference bettering myself so that I can make more money to create a more beautiful future for us, you're going to have the audacity to go do something like that. And so it was very hard for me to not beat me up.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I don't know how you deal with breakups, and I want to hear about this. Like, when I'm sad, I'm unstoppable. Like, I level up when I'm sad. Mm-hmm. I am the type of girl, like, when I lost my grandma, I was like, oh, okay, all right, God, you're going to put me through this? Watch me. And I became the top producing agent that year on my team.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last year when I went through that breakup, same. I looked at Scott and I was like, I know I look a mess. Like, I was sitting there, barely could breathe. I'm like, I know, I'm going to be okay. And I know he's sitting there like, what's wrong right now? You're my top agent, please. Like, you're good. Like, what do I? And he's somebody who will, like, really take the extra mile to, like, pour into those that he cares about. And I could tell he didn't know what to do at that point. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at him, and I tears rolling down my face. I said, look, I am very broken right now. And I am hurt, and I am struggling. All you can do as a friend, somebody who I'm in business and as a friend,
mm-hmm.
just check on me every now and then. It means the world for you to be like, hey, did you have a good day today? Are you okay? What can I do for you as a friend? I was like, because I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, I will be okay. There is no doubt about it. And I'm going to turn all this sadness that I'm feeling into motivation because that's just who I am. But still check on me because yeah. I'm human. And I'm still going to have those moments of like, what could I have done differently? What did I not do for him mm-hmm. that would have maybe stopped him from doing that? And at the end of the day, after I really like took the time to heal and process it all, I was like, I'm not the problem.
You're not the problem, and a man's going to cheat regardless of what you do.
It doesn't matter.
So it doesn't matter.
Cheat. I've learned that. Just don't stress about it. If someone is going to cheat, they're going to cheat. There is literally no amount of having their location, no amount of looking at their phone, no amount of, well, what girls are you talking to? None of that is going to stop somebody from cheating. If anything, it's going to push them into cheating.
If you find yourself, like, with the urge to check the phone, check the following, check the likes,
listen
check the
that.
Comments.
Listen to that. You should go
ahead.
That way with your partner.
Go, either go to a couples therapy or get out.
Or get out. I agree with that 100%.
You will not catch me dead in today's world, I guess you could say, at the old age of 34. The big age of 34, going through another man's phone, going through his following, going through his comments.
I will never go through details like that ever again. Because
checking a location, I'm not doing
that. I'm in the wrong relationship.
Exactly.
You have to feel safe with your partner.
That is, if you want to look for something, you are going to find something. Every single time.
Someone told me, a man recently told me, he's like, I'm not going to ask questions I don't want to know the answer mm-hmm. to. Not right there. I'm not going to ask questions that I don't want to know the answer to.
What's done in the dark will always come to light. It may not come to light immediately, but it will
eventually
come to light. When it's supposed to.
The truth will show itself. Always.
When it's supposed to, God will let you know.
100%. I agree with that. And it's, no amount of checking, no man's phone, or tracking them or anything will stop them from doing what they want to do.
And trust me, I did it all in college. I stalked. I went through the phone.
I've been there. I've gone through my man's phone before too.
I've done it all.
But guess what?
I was
That's
hurt.
That's how I found out I was being cheated on.
I was hurt every single
time. So you found out that one time with the second one, but how did you find out the first time?
I went through his phone.
Okay, so I hate that. But that's how I found out. I had just come home from a business mm-hmm. trip. I'm laying there with him on the couch. He falls asleep and his phone gets blown up. Well, who's Connie? Because I don't know no Connie in your life. You know what I mean? It's like, and I don't like to go through people's phones because like, this is your private space. And I do believe that couples need to have that to an extent. But also, if I can't hand my man my phone and be like, here you go, mm-hmm. if they really need to, then I'm not in the right relationship.
Right.
I shouldn't have to do that on a regular basis. But if I can't, when we can't do that vice versa, then like, well, we got to hide. You know
right.
what I mean? Like, if
right.
I'm truly going to build with somebody, they're going to know the ins and outs of my life. And I don't care. You want to read my messages with my girlfriends? They're going to be a little wild. Go for it. If that's what you want to do.
No.
Like,
hey.
I'm gonna let you do that on your own discretion.
I ain't doing that. I'm sorry. Because yeah. there's not, some things the that.
Look, I agree. I think you should have some privacy. Go ahead.
There's some things. No, I'm not.
Okay, within reason.
I will give you my phone, but I trust that you will not go through it.
Look, if some man ever tried to go through my phone, you better have hours. Because I have. This is my work and my personal. And, like, good luck.
Hours, and you better have, like, tough skin
because
not that I'm gonna talk shit about my partner or anything like that, but if I have someone that I confide in, there's maybe messages between, like, if I was in a relationship, there's gonna be a message between me and Sarah about how I feel about certain things.
That's fair.
And I think that that's personal, and that doesn't need to be shared.
I agree with
that. My partner,
that's what I'm saying. I don't think you should be going through each other's phones on a
regular. Right, but I'm comfortable. If I can't just hand you my phone, hey, call this person, text this person, there's a problem. Yeah,
I agree with that. And I hate that that's, like, what it is, but, like, these have so many.
So much power.
It's so much power, and it opens up the door for so many things and so much temptation. And I hate that that's how we both found out. It's like going through their phones. But the man that I was with, the main man, that has cheated on me. My only other dude who cheated on me was when I was in high school, and, like, that was my high school boyfriend, and we were, what, 15, 16 years old, so I can't even be mad at him. Like, during the time, it tore me up, but now I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. But, like, now, as I'm an adult, like, the one relationship that I was cheating on, he, to this day, would deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm like, look at the message. Like, you clearly had sex with this woman. Like, and you're gonna lie to me about, like, right, the messages are here. So, like, look me in my eyes and lie to me. That's where I have the problem. It's like,
mm-hmm,
okay, so I'm gonna find out that you cheated on me, and you can't even, when I find the evidence of it, you can't even be real and be like, you know what, I fucked up. My bad. I'm sorry. Most
it's like the ultimate sign of disrespect. You can't even tell me.
You can't even look me in the eyes and be like, you're right.
Yeah.
You want to look me in the eyes and be like, you're crazy. And I'm like, I'm crazy. Do you read these messages? Like,
yeah.
I'm crazy for being hurt by somebody I felt like I loved and thought that, like, I was building a future with. I'm crazy for being hurt by these messages, knowing that you brought another woman to the house that we share,
mm-hmm,
while I was out of town bettering myself at a work conference.
Mm-hmm. You have me fucked up. So did you, after that, did you cut off contact completely? Like, what is your, I guess you asked me how I handle mine. What is your way of handling?
So that's a good question. So we broke up. We dated for almost 4 years. We broke up twice within this. So the first time after 2 years, first time after year three. And it's something crazy. If this ain't God, I don't know what to tell you. We broke up on the same day to the year.
That's insane.
Both times. For the same reason. Like, and so for the first time when he did it with another realtor, y'all. Took another realtor to some trashy ass house and had sex with her. And, I mean, if you're gonna do that, at least go to, like, a nice mansion. You know what I mean?
As for real.
Realtor's like, I'm all here for it. Like, you wanna take me to a house and let's have some, you know, some wild sex in the house? I'm here for it. But, like, this is our professionalism, for one. For two. For two, if you're going to go to a house and do that, don't go to some nasty-ass house that needs to be rehabbed. You better go to a nice house. Anyways, those are details that really don't matter. But when that happened, I think it got under my skin that much more the first time, because I was like, you're dating a realtor. Like, you want to go have sex with a realtor in a house and do, like, some kinky shit, and you're going to do it with someone behind my back? Like, what? So that first time, I was so pissed and so hurt. Because this man I had been friends with for 4 years prior to us dating. So, like, we had built a really strong bond.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I considered him my best friend. Yeah. And so when he did this, the level of betrayal that I felt, like, I was so angry. Like, so angry. I, like, was like, what am I going to do if I run into this girl at, like, other realtor events? Because, like, it just irked me that much that I was like, oh my, like, how am I going to handle this? And so when we first broke up, I cut off all contact.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually went celibate. This is actually the very first time in my life that I was like, I'm going to go celibate so that I can take the time to truly heal.
Yeah.
I had never done that before.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. I did it for like 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah, I did it for a while.
Wow.
Yes, I did. Because I'm a very like...
Well, 8 months, I think, for anybody is just a long time.
For anybody's a long time. Yeah. And especially for me, I'm a very like intimate, affectionate person. So to go without that for that amount of time, it was almost like a challenge to myself as well.
What did you do to avoid temptation?
I don't know. It was hard.
I know people who have been, celibacy was a hard thing for them to do. So it's always intriguing and interesting to learn like what they did to help with that.
Honestly, a lot of it was fueled by my anger and my hurt that I was like, I'll be damned if I don't take the time to heal and I end up meeting the love of my life or whoever this is, and I'm not in a space to be able to receive that. So I think that was like a lot of my why with it. And a lot of my why was also, as I had never done that before. And I was like, let me just take some time to truly be with me. So I got really heavy into going to the gym. I was very selective of the people that I surrounded myself with. I was hyper-focused. It actually became my best year in my real estate career. I really turned all of my energy and attention that I would put towards that part of my life, I just put it all into my work. I would say that
I'm listening to you. I'm really listening to you.
I would say that was a lot of it. It was very hard at times. Again, because I am a very intimate person. I love love. I love affection. I love even just cuddling, right? Like, I don't need to necessarily have sex, but just like the intimacy is big for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so while there was moments that I struggled in it, there was more moments of peace because I was like, I'm not going to put myself in the position for that to happen until I've done the healing that I need to do. That in the case that I come across this situation again, God forbid, it doesn't bring me to such a low point.
When did you know your celibacy was over? Because you said you did it for 8 months. Mm-hmm. So what made you decide at this point in time, I'm good?
I had somebody who's been in my life for a very long time, express interest in me, and it took a lot of trust building with that person and a lot of very deep conversations to really allow myself to be like, okay,
to give yourself,
I can open up and this person will be real with me and this person isn't going to disrespect me in that part of my life. And this person is the kind of person that could sit me down and be like, hey, like, while I have a great time with you, like, I'm not only going to be with you. And I respected that.
Mm-hmm.
While, you know, I think for me, it helped me set those boundaries for myself mentally. Okay. So a lot of what helped me realize that I was kind of near or where I was at the end of like that phase of wanting to be celibate.
Mm-hmm.
Was again building like that trust with somebody who I knew didn't have intentions of hurting me and who I knew would be 100% real with me and raw with me. And for me, like, I would much rather somebody come into my life and be like, hey, I love you and I have a great time with you. And we have great sex and we have a great connection and we're friends and we have all these things, but like, I can't commit to you as one person right now.
Yeah.
I would rather somebody be real with me so that I know where to place my emotions and my time and my energy than I would be somebody like, oh my gosh, like, this is great. I'm only with you. And then they're going and happy sleeping with someone behind my back.
Yeah.
I respect that more. And so that person really helped me heal in a lot of ways, probably a lot more ways than he realizes. And just showed me how important it is to be authentic and that I was in a safe space.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what he also helped me realize it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me at all. Mm-hmm. It's not me at all. Like, he really helped instill that in me. It's crazy, like, what the impact of, like, one person can have on you.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really that. I mean, I had plenty of opportunities to break my celibacy before that. And I just, wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Wasn't ready. You know, we're in our 30s. You know, I've had the casual sex relationships. I've had the more serious relationships. I've had both of those. And I was just kind of at a point where I was like, I don't want that. Like, I'm more than just like, I think I felt so like low about myself that I was like, I'm not just going to go have sex with anyone. Like, you're going to earn this. You're going to have, like, if I'm going to let you in on an intimate level in my life, like, you're going to earn it kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And so it was really that one person that helped me switch a lot of my mentality and help me realize, again, like, it's not me, it's that person.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. So my first time we broke up, I was celibate, again, 8 months. After that, you know, we ended up actually getting back together. Mm-hmm. I allowed him back. After the 8 months. So, like, while this person allowed me and, like, taught me all these things, I actually ended up, it wasn't like right at that mark, but right, like a few months later, mm-hmm, I allowed him back in my life.
Ooh.
And yeah, right. Regret doing that, because what did he do a few months later? The same thing that he did to me before. And it absolutely tore me up.
How did you allow him back in after the 8 months?
I just allowed it.
What did he
say? He reached out and was like, I love you. And I fucked up. And you're amazing. And I want to spend my life with you. And I want to have kids with you. And I want to build a life with you. But it was all this. None of it. There was no action behind it. And so I gave him an opportunity. And I was like, if you truly want this, these are the things that I need in a partner. And you're either willing to give them or you're not. And all this, mm-hmm, kept happening, and none of the action happened behind it. And yeah, so I put up with it for a couple of months, and then he ended up cheating on me, mm-hmm, doing the same thing to the same exact date. I'm telling you, February 16th, 2 days after Valentine's Day, we broke up both years in a row. And the second one hit me actually a lot harder, I think, because I was like, damn, I let him back in. And then he did it again. I felt like I had gotten smacked in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, what the hell?
How did you find out the second time?
The phone.
Oh, okay.
Both time was phones.
Okay.
Both time was a phone. Is exactly what it was. Both females messaged him while I was sitting next to him. And that dude I dated, he had like, I don't know if this man had like sleep apnea or what, but he would fall asleep and he was like dead to the world. And so his phone's over here blowing up by all these girls. And I'm like, who are they? Like, we live together. I don't know these girls. Like, and I'm all for, like, my partner having female friends. I'm cool with that. But if I don't know who they are and they're popping up on your phone like that, and they're blowing your phone up, then we don't talk, you know? And so both times found out through the phone. And first girl I had a conversation with, because she was in real estate, and I said, baby girl, let me give you some advice. As somebody who's been in this industry, what you just did could ruin your entire career. Mm-hmm. Because I have messages of you talking about fucking in this listing and doing things that you should not be doing that violate like your code of ethics and just the things that you've agreed to like do as a realtor. And I could ruin your career right now. But I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to lay it down from someone who's been in this industry to somebody who's new in this industry. You're fucking up.
Yeah.
And you're going to mess up your career if you do this. And the second girl I never talked to.
Yeah.
I was just like, what's it going to do?
Right.
You know, what is it going to do? And then when his new girlfriend started calling me, I was like, that's your problem now. That's not my problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the second time, I didn't go celibate. The second time, I was like,
hey,
I got men in my life that want to love on me. I'm going to let them love on me,
yeah,
you know? And that was really, so I handled it two very different ways.
Mm-hmm.
First time I gave my chance of the ability or the opportunity to be in a celibate space and like really do a lot of healing. And then the second time I was just like, this ain't me.
Yeah.
This is him. It did take me to a low place. And I was just like devastated because I was like, man, like I'm involved in this guy's family's life, his kids. I was a whole stepmom to his kids. So like to just like for them to just be gone, like that's what really ate me up. It wasn't so much losing him. It was that.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, there's times even now that I'm like, man, he was my best, mm-hmm, friend. Like, there's times I'm like, man, I wish he was here so we could go do this together. But then I'm like, for what? So he can cheat on me again? Because that's the cycle he's in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to be that person again. So that's how I dealt with it. Very different ways both times. However, I did give myself the grace and the opportunity to again explore both routes of it.
Yeah.
And there's pros and cons to both.
Right. That's I really, agree. Yeah.
You know. But I think that doing the celibate route taught me a lot more. But because I'm an affectionate person, but
what is the main thing that it taught you?
Really just my self-worth.
Yeah.
Like knowing that it's not me at the end of the day. Like this is their problem. Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to when that happens to you to be like, again, what's wrong with you? It's like,
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with you as the person who was cheated on. There's something wrong with the person who's doing the cheating. Mm-hmm. Whether it's insecurity, whether it's trauma, whether it's they're not feeling whatever the case may be and can't communicate that. It's not the person who's being cheated on.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of the time, they come back to the person they cheated on.
Yeah.
And, I would say that was my biggest takeaway from it. It's just really, like, learning my self-worth and really learning, really leaning into the ability of when I'm hurt and I'm sad, of taking that energy and putting it into my business.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm happy. What I do for my business truly makes me happy. So it's like in those days where I was like, I don't want to get out of bed. I don't want to eat. I don't want to do anything. I got up. I got dressed. I did my makeup. I did my hair. And I went to the office. And I went around. And maybe I didn't have a productive day in my real estate. Maybe I did.
But you did
but
things for yourself.
But I still took things for myself. I had to think about, like, what does Sarah need to do for Sarah to feel good today? You
yes.
know? And that's what I focused on every single minute of every day. Is like, okay, like, you may have me feeling this way. And you may, there may be moments of weakness and moments where I'm, like, really struggling. But I'll be damned if I'm sad and I can't take myself to go have a spa day. Or I'll be damned if I'm sad and I can't go take myself out to a nice meal. Like, I'm not going to be sad and broke. That's one thing.
Oh.
I'm not going to be sad and broke.
Pick one.
It's one or the other. You know what I mean? And I'll be damned, like I said, if I can't do something to pick me up without relying on somebody else. Like, I don't need to rely on another man to take me to dinner. I don't need to rely on a friend. Granted, I have those things in my life, but I don't need those things to make me happy. And so it was really like relearning that, like, self-love.
Yeah.
I would say those were like my biggest things. What were your biggest takeaways when you went through yours?
I will speak to the relationships I had that were not, one was official and one wasn't. Both of them absolutely ruined me. The first one was the first person, and I'm going to tread lightly here because this is a very, like, sensitive topic. The first one, was my freshman year of college. It was the first guy who approached me. We weren't official. Like, he never asked me to be his girlfriend, but it was known.
It was a known thing. Y'all were there.
It was a known thing. Granted, he was probably with other females during this entire thing, which none of my business at this point. But that one, it was the first time I felt love. It was the first time I fell in love.
That's hard.
It was my first time.
That, yeah.
So it was a lot of firsts and a lot of emotions that I had no idea how to handle. One being pain. I've never been through a harder heartbreak in my entire life. Being that I didn't know how to handle pain, I handled pain in ways that would not be beneficial to a person, I guess you could say. So there was a moment, I played softball in college and we had roommates, and there was a girl at the time who was the closest one to me, and she knew exactly everything that I was going through with him. And there were times where I would show up to her door and I would just show up like this, and my wrist would be bleeding because that's the only way that I knew would take away the pain. So it was things of that nature. The relationship was very toxic. It was very mentally abusive. One would consider it physically abusive. It was just not a good situation to deal with. And I, being that it was my first one, had no idea how to handle any of the emotions that came along with it. So I will say those are not ways that I suggest handling pain, but that's what I did in the time that I knew how to handle it. It did take a while to get over that. I'm still dealing with the trauma that came with that relationship in certain ways. Sexually, I still deal with it a lot because there were things in that relationship that were not, I'll just say we're not
kosher.
Yeah. So that is something that I still have to deal with.
Process.
I have never gone to therapy. I feel like I'm very self-aware in the way that I handle things now that I'm 34 years old. So I kind of know, not that I know everything and know how to handle every situation, but I can slowly process it and handle my thinking and the thoughts that I have in my own head. Mm-hmm. So that is how I handled the first one. The second one was my last relationship, and it was someone who I thought I was going to marry. It was after being single for so long, and I started dating him in COVID, and I was like, this is it.
This is my man. I found
him. This is it. I found him. He encompassed everything that I thought I wanted in a man. So in my mind during that time, I would like to say I was still immature in my thinking of being in a relationship, what I wanted in a man. I did not know what I wanted for myself. So in that point in time, I was like, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. This is it. He's exactly what I want. So in my mind, I created that reality of this is it. Mm-hmm. So when I felt things deeply, I just
felt it.
Yeah. Right. So that relationship ended up not working. I was unhealed and I caused a lot of turmoil in the relationship. And so knowing when things ended, it was because of me. It was very hard to deal with. I've never dealt with that before. But in that relationship, the way I handled things, I actually handled them how they should have been handled. So whenever you go through a breakup, it's really you're going through the five stages of grief every single time. And that was the first breakup where I actually sat in my feelings. I felt there's moments in time where I can go through and say, I remember each stage of grief. I can't name them all off the top of my head right now, but I went through each phase of grief and I felt it one by one by one.
Kudos,
and it was very hard.
A lot of people don't take the time to do that. So can I cheers you for that?
Yes. It was very hard. And my friend at the time who I really confided in, I would call her and I would tell her, she knew my past of me cutting my wrist and she knew of everything like that. And I told her, I was like, I don't want to be here right now. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling. So voicing that to somebody also who can just kind of like talk you off the ledge a little bit, is very beneficial. So if you do have someone who can just be a listening ear, I guess, in that point in time, I would suggest doing that or going to therapy. Yeah. Leaning on those who love you. So she was really beneficial during that point in time. I did move. So we were in Austin. I knew I could not stay in Austin.
Yeah.
I knew that I had to get out because if I saw him out and about to like a place that we enjoyed going to, I would lose my shit. So I knew I had to move. And so I moved to the next place that I knew was best for me, which was Dallas. That was where all my friends at the time were. And I wanted to be surrounded by friends. Mm-hmm. So I moved. And that's how I handled that. So I went through each stage of grief and then moved to a different environment and cut off all communication. And I will suggest that that is the main thing in all of this, is when you're going through a breakup, is you cut off all communication. You have to.
I've done both where you don't. And like when you don't, it's going to fuck you up.
The first one I didn't. The second one I did. And it's a world of difference.
I didn't cut off communication 100% the first time I cheated on me. And then, like it still lingered. There was still hard boundaries, but like I still let it linger. I still let him watch my stories on social media. I still let him like have access to that part of me. And this time around, he has, like, when I tell you he's blocked, like, off of every platform, his phone number, his brothers are blocked. Like I actually today had a friend who's a mutual friend of ours, like, have you talked to him? And I'm like, no, not since we broke up last year. It's a year and a half now. And he's like, do you want to talk to him? And I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, sure, there's parts of me that are like, he was my best friend. Like, I miss him in certain aspects, but like, no.
Yeah.
For one, it's not going to do anything for me. For two, should I find, you know, a partner anytime soon, it's disrespectful to them.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to do that because I'm going to tell you right now, the next man I end up with, I'm going to marry him. I'm not like,
hey, you speak that into the universe.
The next man I end up with, I'm going to marry him because I'm not, I'm at a point in my life, like we spoke about last episode, neither one of us is settling.
Yeah, it'll be a cold day in hell.
Like, it'll be a cold day in hell is right. And so it's like, when that time comes, I need to be, I don't want to say the best version of myself, because we're constantly growing, constantly becoming better versions of myself. But I'll be damned if my new man has to worry about some lingering stuff from my past.
Oh yeah, that's not an issue.
Like, hey, I'm not doing it, and I don't care how good of friends we were. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I dated somebody when I was younger who, for 8 years, thought I was going to marry this man. He's an incredible man. Never did anything wrong to me. Never cheated on me. I probably would have had a beautiful future with him. It was just wrong timing. Mm-hmm. I was too young, and we're friends. We're cordial. He posted a picture of him and his new girl the other day, and I'm over here like hearting it. Like, I'm happy for him. But, like, for someone who's going to do me wrong, I'll be damned if you have access to me.
Yeah.
Ever again. Because for what? That's just me telling you, like, this is okay and I'll tolerate it. And I'm not. You will have zero access to me if you take it there. If you disrespect me in any way, as a friend, as a partner, as any of that, you're going to have zero access to me. Because I have too much love in all other parts of my life to tolerate some half-ass shit.
Hey.
Not sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Yeah. I mean that. Like, so I did. I think cutting off contact is key. And it may not be a forever thing. Maybe it's everyone heals at different rates. Everyone heals in different ways. Maybe it's not a forever thing. But for me, like, that initial cutoff is, especially if someone's hurt you, is incredibly important.
Be like top four things that I could say to anybody, young girls specifically, who are going through a breakup, who have been cheated on and are going through the breakup. Cut off contact. Mm-hmm. Go through all the stages of grief. Really sit in your feelings. Don't try to find something to distract you. I need you to sit through all the feelings so you can feel everything, because mm-hmm. That is the only way that you're going to be able to move on peacefully. Three would be, I just had these in my head. Three would be to know that it's not about you.
Not about you. Someone cheats on you,
it's not about you. It's not about you. Mm-hmm. And then four would be to find something that you're passionate about and really dive in.
That last one, go ahead.
Yeah. No,
that last one was one that I was going to tap into. I was going to add another one. It's like, really pour into you.
Yeah.
Like, I want you to take all that love that you had for that person, that partner, and I want you to give it to yourself. Like,
yes.
Find, like, for me, I started finding a lot of, like, passion and love going to the gym. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was hurting, when I was having a hard day and I couldn't stop crying, or, like, I was angry, or I was, like, rethinking about the situation, I would go to the gym and have a damn good workout. Mm-hmm. And by the time I left, my whole mood had changed. Whether it's, you know, doing something for yourself, getting dressed up and going and having a nice dinner, whether it's mm-hmm. going in painting, whether it's yoga, whatever it is, like, pour, take all that love that you wanted to give that person and give it to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that will put you back in a much better, in a much healthier space.
In the last one, there is a fifth one, and I have shared this before, and I remind myself of this all the time, is if I can love someone so much and he's the wrong person, imagine the love I will have for the right person. And that is like the number one thing that keeps me going, whether that be a relationship or someone that I'm talking to that I really love and I really want it to work out. I just ended a 13-year situationship and I really wanted that. And so I know that if I loved him so much and he was not the one, imagine what I will be like with the right one.
And also flip the roles on that, right? Imagine how much you felt this love from this person. Imagine how much you can truly feel loved.
Yes.
Right? Like, think about, like, okay, you feel like you've been loved before. Imagine what someone who really genuinely, like, loves you and wants to uplift you and create a beautiful life with you. Imagine that.
I know he had unconditional love for me, but I do know that it was not what I deserved, as much as I deserved. I do know he loved me. I do know he cared about me, but I know he is not. Now I know he is not the one for me, but I also understand and have faith that if he is, it'll happen.
It'll happen. It's supposed to be, it will happen.
I literally live by, like, that's why I don't worry about anything, because if what is for me will always happen. It will never miss me. And it is so cliche to say that, but it is so true, and I cannot preach it enough that I have so much faith in God. When I talk about being delusional, it's because I have so much faith in God that he knows that I'm what I'm supposed to have. I already have it. I just don't have it yet, like physically.
Yeah.
It's already written. Everything's already written.
It's not in our control. I like that, though, that you're like, I don't stress about it. Because I really don't. I've learned that it's kind of crazy. I grew up, my dad's Jewish, my mom's Christian. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in multi different faiths. Mm-hmm. And there was a point in my life where I was like, is God even real? Like, show me. Please prove it to me. Because, like, I'm not seeing any evidence of that. I'm just hearing all the talk from both of these religions and I'm not actually seeing it. And it wasn't until I really got heavy into my production into real estate that I saw it. And I see it on a regular basis. I saw it today, as a matter of fact, in a deal that I closed. And sometimes it's big details.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's little things.
Yeah.
But what's meant to be for you will be. And it will happen when the timing is right. It will happen. Mm-hmm. And you cannot stress it. Mm-hmm. All you can focus on is being and becoming the best version of yourself. And you may not be at the best version, but as long as you're working towards like 1% better each day and like you're doing the things to like feed into that self-love and to make sure that you're creating a life for yourself so that when somebody comes in and joins, it only gets better. Mm-hmm. Like it will happen. Mm-hmm. But like time and time again, I see it in my business, which has also poured over into my personal life. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, it's cool. So like when people ask me, why are you single? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't met my man yet. I don't know what to tell you. It's not my time. Like, when my time happens, it will happen. But until then, I'm chilling. And I'm not out here looking for it. Because if I'm going to sit here and out here and look for it, God's going to bring me the wrong person. Or he's going to bring someone to teach me another lesson. I don't want to say it like that. But it's going to be...
You're going to keep getting the same lesson until you learn it.
I already learned my lesson. I ain't trying to get cheated on again.
God will literally keep sending you lessons.
I can't handle that again.
Until you learn.
I mean, I can handle it because of where my mentality is now. But, like, I will not. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, you just gotta sit back and relax.
I am the literal definition of sitting back. And
you really are, though. Sometimes I'll talk to her about boy stuff. She's like, I'm just gonna listen to your stuff because
I don't think I have. Like I said, I cut. The other reason why this is like six, I guess you could say number six. I cut him off because I know he's not for me. And so me keeping him in my life is selfish, and I cannot receive something new until he is gone.
That right there.
So until that space
is... It blocks your blessing.
Yes. Until that space is empty, nothing can come in. So, hey, you gotta go.
Yeah, I got to go. I don't know what.
It's been a good ride, but you gotta go.
Now you're blocking my future blessings.
You're keeping my husband away, and I don't like that. So,
and that's not acceptable.
And if you're my husband, that's cool. You'll come back. God will bring you back for a reason, and I will know.
It might have been a different timing, but what's meant to be will be.
But as of right now, I'm gonna need you to get up and get out.
If you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing,
yeah,
we're gonna need you to leave respectfully. Because our friends,
no, yeah, respectfully.
Like for my birthday this year, girl, my best friend reached out to me, Marissa, reached out to me a month before my birthday. And said, does this date and this time work? I'm taking you to Bohannon's, which is like one of the nicest restaurants in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I ain't got no man in my life doing that for me. And mm-hmm. I don't expect, you know, for me, again, I've said this before, it's like, I don't expect to be taken out all the time or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like the love that I received, especially this year from my friends, mm-hmm. like I was sitting in my living room the other day and I got 10 beautiful bouquets of flowers this year. And if you know me, you know how much I love flowers. And like, mm-hmm. I was sitting in my living room the other day, just like, just relaxing and like looking around at like all the bouquets of flowers. And I was like, God, I'm so grateful. Like, mm-hmm. I am so loved by my friends. Like, every single one of my people in my life, including you, like, made sure that I felt special.
Well, it's just a true testament of how good of a person you are. So, when that many people do that and show you how much they love you, it's just instant feedback for you to let you know how good of a person you are.
I do my best. I'm just trying to move in this world with genuine intentions, okay? And a good heart, because this world's crazy. I appreciate that. But like, again, it goes to show, like, I have enough platonic love in my life mm-hmm. to not settle for the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Love is special. Love is a very special. I know you agree with me on this. Mm-hmm. We're hopeless romantic. We think we're going to meet our husband on the plane. He's going to sit right down right next to us. Like, mm-hmm. And we might, you know? But I don't know. It's just when you have that kind of platonic love in your life, it reminds me that much more to not settle for the things that are important to me in that part of my life, personally.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly. I am far from settling. I've settled before and I'm very stubborn. So like it ain't gonna happen again. I can
Erin stands
that.
On business, y'all. When I tell you this girl stands on business, she stands on business.
I probably, obviously 13 years is a long time to drag something out with. I always had hope. He always gave me hope. Little slivers of hope, and that's what kept me on. And the love I have for this person is can't be measured. I love him unconditionally, and if he is supposed to be for me,
then he will be,
and that's all I can like count on.
But what you're not sacrificing is the love that you have.
Yeah, like I love myself more than I love you. Yeah. So it sucks. He was my best friend, and it sucks not having him or feeling of I'm being mean to him is because I cut off all communication. I didn't block him. I just cut off. I am strong enough to just cut off communication. Mm-hmm. And it kills me to like not. So it's that part is hard, but at the end of the day, I know that I'm putting myself first, which will always be priority.
I was about to say, it would kill you more if you weren't doing that to take care of yourself. Yep. Because here's the deal: once you start setting aside yourself and you stop taking care of yourself and doing mm-hmm. the things that make you happy and like that take care of you, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like my mom taught me, nobody is gonna have your back like you at the end.
Exactly,
of the day. Nobody. Like, you, at the end of the day, there's one person in this world that you can count on, and it's yourself. And so it's like, if you don't create that life for yourself, or you don't have things the way they need to be, I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say, hey. You know what I mean,
You want some more?
Babysitting over here.
Okay.
Pretty huge. I should say yes, though. Hey. Babysitting.
I drank enough for the both of us.
Look, I was at the pool this afternoon.
You were? Okay.
I had some drinks before I came here. Hey, that's all
cool. So don't worry. But yeah.
Yeah, so that's my thoughts. I think what you said, the five or six things you said, yeah. I think those are all super important. I think that a lot of people can probably relate to this topic. Mm-hmm. So if it's something that y'all want us to dive more on, I know that we're both happy to. But I think that this was a very good conversation or a good topic for us to talk about.
Seven.
Oh, hit me with it, girl.
You will be okay.
Ooh, that right there. You will be okay. Because there was moments, especially last year when I was in that, like, girl, I spent days in my house crying. Like, and if you know me, that's not like me. Like, I bounce back super quick. And for me, I literally thought my world was ending. Mm-hmm. Until I had a couple people in my life be like, girl, you're driven.
You will think your world is ending.
You will literally think your world is ending. Multiple times. It's not.
You will be okay.
And guess who has control in changing that?
You.
Really.
You can literally decide that you're going to be okay.
So I know you've heard me say this, yes. But like I went to four different elementary schools. And I know, fun fact, I went to four different elementary schools. Really just because of like zoning and things. My parents moved once, but other than that, it was all zoning changes. And then I went to a private school for a couple of years because when my parents split, my parents agreed to raise me mm-hmm. predominantly Jewish, and I went to a private Jewish school. But my elementary school that I went to for first and second grade, every single morning on the announcements, and this has stuck with me my entire life, y'all, at the end of the morning announcements, they would say, and remember, make it a great day or not, the choice is yours. And it's so true.
Like, I shit you not, she tells me that every day.
I've thought about putting it on my voicemail just because, like, it's funny. Like, the reactions I get from people, when I hit people with that and they've never heard me say that before, they're like, you're right. And I'm like, it's your choice. Like, are you going to have a good day or not? Because there were several days last year where I was like, I'm going to sit in my bed. I'm going to cry all day. I'm not going to eat. I'm literally just going to, like, mope around. And then there was a couple, like, on a couple of those days, I was like, no. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to the gym. And after I go to the gym, I'm going to come home and I'm going to shower and I'm going to get ready and I'm going to do my makeup and I'm going to put some cute clothes on. And I may not go anywhere. But guess what? I'm not going to sit here and cry in the clothes that I wore yesterday and totally ruin my day because at the end of the day, it's up to me. Am I going to have a good day? Like, am I going to feed myself right today? Am I going to do something that makes me happy? Am I going to surround myself with people that make me happy? Like, it's truly in your hands. Yes, there are things that can affect your days, of course. There are things that can have, like, negative effects. But at the end of the day, like, it's really up to you. Mm-hmm. What kind of day do you want to have? What kind of energy do you want to carry throughout the day? How do you want to affect the people that are around you? Do you want to come into contact with people and people are like, I don't know about that. Or do you want to come into contact with people and then be like, that girl's a light right there. And maybe they don't know what you're going through. But imagine if you're going through that and you can still have that impact on people, the power that you hold. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know,
the choice make it a great day or not,
the choice is yours.
I think that's fabulous to end on.
I like that. I want y'all to remember that when you're having a bad day, that you can make it a great day or not, the choice is
yours.
We gonna wrap this episode up with that. Let's hit our question of the day.
Our question of the day is, what made you laugh out loud today? I did not laugh at all today till you came over. Because I was very just zoned in.
Okay.
So I was zoned in on work.
What did I do to make you laugh?
We shimmied in the beginning.
We did shimmy in the beginning of this. We both gave a good shimmy.
We shimmied, and that made me giggle. Also, when Sarah was pulling up to my apartment, I was just like.
She's standing up. Hey, welcome.
I love seeing Sarah. I love the energy that she brings. She's a true testament of her word when she says, the choice is yours. She always is just, I've never been around you when you've been in a bad mood.
Very rare.
So, and you've probably been around. When I've been in a bad mood.
I think I have been.
She is just always a light. And so that just always makes my day. But what made you laugh today?
A couple of things made me laugh today. I would say Probably the first being I went to the pool with some of my friends and their kids today. And this is like something super silly, but one of my friend's daughters, I met this girl plenty of times. She knows my name. She kept calling me, what does she keep calling me? She called me Janet.
Ooh.
She called me, what was another name she kept calling me? I can't remember now. It was not my name, clearly. And so I looked at her and I said, okay, Susie. Like, I just hit her with a whole different name. So the whole day I was like, hey, Susie. Hey, and her name is Susie. I was like, Susie, come here. Like, just to mess with her.
Yeah.
So, like, that gave me a good laugh throughout the afternoon because we just kept, like, playing on that.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I love kids. And I was playing with her kids in the pool and, like, just having a good time.
Right.
So I would say that's probably the first thing. And then I had a closing today with a couple that I absolutely adore. And it's been a long road for them to purchase a house. I've helped their parents, their siblings, and now them purchase a house. And I always have a good laugh with that family.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we may be going through some stressful things, they may have stressful things, but like there's always room for a good laugh.
Yeah.
And so I would say those are probably like the main two things. The biggest thing though is my friend's daughter over here trying to hit me with another name because she knows very like, well my name.
BFFR.
It's not the, yeah, for real. Exactly. So those are my things. They're very lighthearted, but those are the things. And then, of course, pulling up to Erin's and seeing her on the front porch, I would say that actually gave me a good laugh. I know you heard me. I got a loud laugh. If you know me, for one, my laugh is loud, and I got about 10 of them. So
I'm the silent wheezer.
And again, I got about 10 of them. Anybody in my life would truly attest to that.
Yep.
So
yep.
Those are my laughs of the day.
Well, I think that wraps up episode 2. There are a couple things we're working on. We will be getting new microphones, so just bear with us.
Any feedback y'all have is appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Any topics y'all want us to talk about. If anybody would like to come on our podcast, we're also open to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate y'all's support.
Yeah, so we will see you guys next time. This is just wine about it.